Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. The record-breaking storm that dumped 4 feet of snow in parts of western South Dakota has left ranchers with some heavy losses. Some are reporting losses of 20 to 50% of their herds. Joining us now to discuss the livestock losses from the early October blizzard is Sylvia Christian. She's the executive director of the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. And Sylvia, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for talking about this really terrible tragedy that we're dealing with.
And I'm hearing the words, you're just terrible and catastrophic. Can you give us an idea of how big these losses were for ranchers in the wake of this blizzard?
Yeah, Carl, it has really been staggering to hear the numbers come in. Yesterday morning, as I was visiting with people, I was hearing reports of 20 and 50% of livestock dead on their operations. Today, I'm hearing more and more reports of ranchers who have yet to find a livestock alive. I talked to a gentleman this morning. He has 600 head of cattle up by Quinn. He hasn't found a single one alive yet. We have ranchers that have, down in the scenic area that have lost 30% of their cattle, but that's 200 cows dead in a ditch. This is drastic. It is a huge loss for our industry, and it spans the entire western South Dakota. We're talking ranchers all the way from the Nebraska border all the way up to North Dakota that are reporting dramatic losses that are really going to something we're going to feel for years to come and potentially going to put a lot of these producers out of business.
Is there, in recent memory, has there been a storm like this that has really affected ranchers and cattle this strongly?
In my memory, no, but also in the memory of many of the producers I've visited with, they've never seen anything like this. They have never heard of anything like this.
As the snow melts, are ranchers starting to find more dead cattle?
That's really the biggest thing. A lot of ranchers took precautions before the storm hit on Friday, took extra feed out to their cows, and made sure they were bedded down in areas where they would be protected. And so they assumed that the cattle were safe. And as they're going out now after the storm to find their cattle and to check on them, they're noticing and finding that the cattle drifted in the wind. They were pushed out of those areas by the falling snow. The ranchers are out everywhere right now searching for livestock, gathering the ones that are still alive and making sure they can bring them in and care for them the way they need to be cared for, and sadly also counting the death loss.
So at this point, there's a lot of missing cattle yet.
There are a lot of missing cattle, and there are a lot of cattle that are just not identifiable or not identified as to ownership. With the wind that blew so terribly, the cattle wandered in the wind, many of them for many miles away from home, 5 and 10 miles away from home. So live cattle are showing up at ranchers' homes that don't belong to them, but they are alive. And so ranchers are taking care of those animals while they're still looking for their own. And we'll be working now over the next days with the brand board to get brand inspectors in there, identify the ownership on those cattle, and notify the owners that they are still alive and let them know where they're at.
Given the timing of the storm, was it especially damaging because we're talking early October?
That's really a big part of it. What we saw, and some of the reason that we saw such dramatic losses with this storm, is that we really haven't had that much cold weather in western South Dakota. So Mother Nature hadn't provided much thick fur for these cattle yet. They didn't have their winter hair on. So the cattle were not prepared for elements like this. We then started this storm with rain, and it rained for most of a day. We had about 2 inches of rain. The ground was incredibly wet and soggy. The cattle were soaked to the bone. And then we had this really blast of cold air, the snow coming in that just stuck to those wet cattle. They got covered in snow. They got pushed by the wind, and they got bogged down in the mud. And that's really what happened, is a lot of these herds just would wander and hit fences where they couldn't go any further, and they would die against the fences, or they would huddle into low spots where they thought they were getting protection, and they would trample each other into the mud and literally suffocated from the elements when the snow overcame them.
Now, you mentioned some of the early preparations that some ranchers were making, but given what I understand, the rather unexpected nature of this, the severity of this storm, was there much that they could actually do to prepare for this?
Well, in preparation, there were two things. That's part of it, Carl, is that the storm was predicted, but it was very much underpredicted. Nobody had any idea that it would be this severe. We had been told that we would be looking at maybe 8 to 10 inches of snow, and certainly not 3 feet of snow. So that was part of it. the other part as well is that many cattle are still out on summer pasture, and ranchers often have pastures that have less cover but are really good grazing pastures where they keep their cattle in the summer. And in the wintertime, they will bring those animals in closer to the house and into areas where they have protection to deal with winter elements. Many of those cattle were not in places where they could get adequate cover, and so the ranchers, while they tried to make preparations, also struggled with that they didn't have their cattle in an area where they could really give them the best cover.
So for those ranchers that are reporting losses of 50% or maybe more of their herds, what does this mean for the future for them?
That's a very good question, Carl, and that's the question that everyone is starting to ask themselves today. And I don't know that I have a good answer to that question right now. I think the first thing we need to do is make sure that we are accounting for all the cattle that are still alive, helping those ranchers take care of those animals in the near future. I think we need to make sure we're caring for the emotional health of some of our producers out there who have suffered such devastating losses. In the long run, there are questions now. Without a farm bill, we don't really know if there are any indemnity or disaster programs available to these producers to help cover these losses. And we don't have, with the government furlough right now, the FSA offices are closed, so there's really nowhere to even report your losses right now. And that's just compounding the problem. I think those are questions we're going to start having to get some answers to in the next few days to help these producers figure out what's next. But I'm really scared to say that I think for many of these producers, this might be the end.
Now, you mentioned reporting the losses. Where can ranchers then make those reports? Are there agencies in the state that they should do that to?
We are asking them to currently report to the Animal Industry Board or to the Brand Board office here in Pierre. They can call either of those offices and report losses, and also report lost or strayed animals that they're finding. They can also report to their county emergency management offices, and your county offices there should be able to help you report how many death loss you have, how many cattle you still have alive, and if you're missing any, and they'll take reports also of strayed animals that you might have found on your property. So your local emergency officials can help with all of that. In terms of documentation for insurance and those types of claims, there's really nowhere right now, because the FSA offices would be the ones that would handle those reports. We're asking producers to document all of their losses, take photographs, get third-party verification if you can. If you're calling a rendering truck, have them give you a receipt for how many animals they're taking away. Call a brand inspector, have them give you a form, whatever it might take to get a third-party verification, and photographs also to document what animals you had lost. That paperwork will go a really long way if and when we find out what we have for an indemnity program and what the federal government might be able to do to help us here.
Now, you mentioned the livestock carcasses, and how are they dealt with? There's rendering companies that take care of that?
Right, and there's really two different scenarios we're dealing with right now. First of all, I mean, there are tens of thousands of animals dead in western South Dakota right now, and many of them drifted. There are carcasses laying in the road ditches throughout western South Dakota, which is a horrific sight on top of everything. The Animal Industry Board and the State Department of Ag have put resources behind that. There are rendering trucks headed out through that part of the state right now, picking up those animals and getting them off of the highways, getting them off of the ditches, and getting them out of the public right away. And those rendering trucks are also available for private individuals. If you'd like to have them come out and take care of your animals, that's certainly an option. The Animal Industry Board also has prescriptions or has processes available for composting or burying those carcasses or also burning them. And we're going to need to probably get some help or some support for the ranchers that need help with those processes, because many of them suffered hundreds of dead animals, and that's a major process to get those animals and carcasses taken care of. So that's certainly something that we need to take a really good look at and make sure we're doing properly here in the next few days, because as the temperatures rise and as those animals are laying out there, that the disease risk but also the difficulty of cleaning that up becomes harder.
Is it difficult to identify the ownership of a dead animal?
For the most part, I think it's going to be aided at least by the fact that we have a brand inspection program. Many of these, especially the breeding cows, were branded, and using that hot iron brand, we'll be able to, with the help of our brand inspectors, we'll be able to identify a lot of those cattle. Most cattle also carry ear tags, and have other markings on them that we can use to document how those animals were marked, whether it was with ear tags or clips or whatever it might be, and their brands as well. I think we'll be able to. However, a lot of these animals, like I said, wandered into ditches or into water dugouts and stuff, and so there's a lot of mud involved, and it's going to be really hard to get those individual animals out of some of those places. But like I said, those are logistics that the ranchers are just now coming to terms with and things that we're having to help them sort through as well.
So how does this affect the cattle industry now in South Dakota, particularly when we've got ranchers who are already dealing with last year's summer drought?
Well, that is seriously a big question. I mean, coming off of the drought, many of these ranches had already reduced their numbers somewhat and were trying to stock back up and really rebuild their herds a little bit. If we're talking, and I think I feel comfortable saying it right now, that we might be looking at having lost 15 to 20% of our entire West River cattle herd at this point. And that is not only we lost calves that had not gone to market yet. Many of these deaths are calves that were ready to go to market here in the next few weeks, and so the ranchers are not going to get paid for their work from this summer. The cattle that were lost were already carrying the calves for next year's calf crop, and so ranchers are going to be feeling this direct impact for the next few years. But then again, also building up their herd. A lot of these ranchers are very proud of the genetics that they have and the work that they've done to create genetic lines and herds that are good mothers and that take care of their calves and that are good producers. Building that up is something that could take decades.